This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Pride Month wraps up next week. It is astounding to note that this year's celebration of the LGBTQ community coincided with another Supreme Court decision awarding the community a major victory, expanding civil rights protections in employment. The case law isn't statute, and LGBTQ folks still don't have those rights protected in state law. Many Michiganders have heard of the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act, and in fact, a petition drive is underway that would expand the act's protections for the LGBTQ community, adding sexual orientation as well as gender identity or expression. Not many of us know the people behind those names. Just who exactly is Daisy Elliott? Jillian Reese is curator of exhibits at the Michigan History Center. Jillian, welcome back to Stateside.
Hello.
So where was Daisy Elliott from?
She was originally born in West Virginia in 1917.
Do we know why she came to Michigan?
Her father was a coal miner and her mother was a homemaker. So in many ways, they were sort of the next generation of folks that were not only looking for economic freedom in the North, but also social freedom. This was the time of Jim Crow, when Black folks in the South really didn't have freedom of movement or freedom of political expression. So they looked at the North as sort of this promised land where they could get good jobs, you know, have more freedom. Now, that wasn't always the case. Racism existed everywhere in the United States. They had more freedom than they did in the South. But I'm sure that those experiences in the South and then later in Michigan really inspired Daisy. She was one of these women that after she turned 40, she decided, I want to get more involved in sort of improving the life of women and African Americans in Michigan.
And how did she do that?
Well, she ran for her public office. I have been studying a lot about Daisy Elliott. And one of the things that strikes me most about her is, you know, in the last 2018 midterm election, the conversation was really about women getting involved in political life, many of them for the first time and many of them later, sort of spurred on by what they wanted to see in the world and the change they wanted to make. And Daisy Elliott, in many ways, is a foremother of this movement. In 1960, Michigan voters voted to approve a constitutional convention, of which they had to then elect delegates. And Daisy Elliott was a delegate elected from Detroit. It's particularly interesting, the 61-62 Con-Con, that this was the first constitutional convention in Michigan's history where all the delegates weren't white men. We had women delegates and African-American delegates. So it was a very important constitution because for the first time, we were really going to hear a diversity of voices with regards to gender and race.
How did she come to be part of such an important civil rights bill that stays with us to this day?
Yeah, after her experience at ConCon, Daisy Elliott joined other ConCon alums to run for public office in their local communities. And she became a representative in the Michigan House. Right away, she set to representing the needs and improving the lives of women and African Americans throughout the state. She almost immediately knew that she wanted to try and pass legislation that was modeled on the 1964 Civil Rights Act that had passed federally. And it took her almost 10 years to find someone, specifically a Republican. She wanted it to be a bipartisan piece of legislation and find someone who was willing to co-sponsor that with her. She saw during this time busing, the Detroit riots, racial inequality, sort of the fallout of those things. And she really thought that it was very important for Michigan to have some sort of law on the books that would protect the civil rights of Michiganders.
So the person that she found was Republican Melvin Larson.
Yes.
How did she sell him on being a part of this?
Well, it wasn't too hard of a sell. Mel was sort of a product of his time period. He was much younger than Daisy Elliott. He sort of saw her. He served on the Civil Rights Committee with her and saw her as a leader on that committee. But he also personally had been touched by some of these issues. While working in Pontiac as a teacher, he saw the racial tensions and inequity that had sprung up around busing in that city. And so when he was approached by Daisy, he sort of said, okay, I'll sign up. And in fact, many people within his own Republican caucus warned him against co-sponsoring this piece of legislation. They told him that it would be political suicide. And Mel has talked a lot since then about how he would have probably been sort of this no-name legislator if it wasn't for Daisy Elliott sort of reaching beyond the aisle and allowing him to become famous and an important part of Michigan history.
Did they have a hard time getting it passed?
It took them quite a few years. I think it was 4 years from the time that Mel signed on as co-sponsor to getting it passed. But I think, you know, during this time period of the 60s and 70s, across the country, there was an incredible sense that people needed to work in a bipartisan fashion to address some of the issues that were being highlighted by the civil rights movement and by the women's liberation movement. And so, you know, there was this sense that Michigan needed to keep its identity as a modern state. A lot of the legislators at this time really saw Michigan as a leader nationally. And it was also a time where Democrats controlled the Michigan state government. And so they were able to get some of this legislation through that today we might think would be very difficult to get through, considering sort of the more partisan nature of our politics.
How did Daisy Elliott's gifts manifest themselves during this time?
She was really known as a very hard worker. We have a quite charming political brochure of hers in our collection. And in it, she's telling people what she has to do every day as a legislator and making that work known, and included meeting with folks, speaking with constituents. She was always known as being there, being someone that people could count on. But she was also friendly to Republicans. She was someone who saw the need to really compromise and to reach across the aisle and bring people in that maybe you would think would be unlikely to support things like civil rights acts. But in actuality, I think most folks who run for public office are just trying to improve the lives of Michigan residents. So with knowing that she was someone who sort of wasn't like a shifty character. She was someone that you could really trust, I think, was a great factor in her success.
Do you think that it really could have happened without Daisy Elliott at the helm?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, Mel Larson has talked about this quite a bit, and he said that if it wasn't for her and for her determination, I mean, she was elected in 63, and, you know, the Elliott-Larson Act didn't pass until the late 1970s. So, you know, it took her a decade and a half to get this through. Not many people have that sort of persistence. I think the other thing to think about with regards to the Elliott-Larson Act is that it's not only barring discrimination on the case of race, sex, religion, national origin, age, marital status. It also gives folks a place to air their grievances so that, you know, they can go report this. And also, it provides a framework for compensating victims of discrimination. Without some teeth to legislation for it to be enforced, it can really just be almost like a gesture to say, okay, we don't want discrimination in this state. But without some sort of enforcement of a law, it doesn't go very far to impact people's lives.
Jillian, thank you so much for talking with us a little bit about Daisy Elliott. She sounds like an amazing person.
Yes, she's quite inspirational, and we're very lucky to have had her serve the state.
Jillian Reese is curator of exhibits at the Michigan History Center.